1996 Sunstone Symposium welcomes you to session 162, Mormon Folk Songs, Past and Present, presented by Mike Iverson and Shauna Iverson.
Welcome to section 162, Folk Songs, Past and Present, Mike and Shauna Iverson. I don't know how many of you, isn't it on? It is. Okay, I'll just get closer to it. There you go. I don't know how many of you were here last night to hear them, but I was, and I'm excited to hear more. Now, hopefully during the time that they are presenting their music, they will tell you a little about themselves and a little about where these songs come from and their interest in them. And since we got started a minute or two late, I won't take up any more time. I'll just say, here's the Iversons.
Well, we're very pleased to be here with this size of group. We would normally just have you all sort of crowd around us and play acoustically, but I think they're recording this, so we'll have to do it from the podium here. We're going to start off with a tune that is a good one to start some of these songs from the 1800s with. It's a tune called None Can Preach the Gospel Like the Mormons Do, and if you're listening to a folk program, at some point or another in the show, you're usually required to sing along, and we would invite you to join us on this first song. The refrain of this song goes, none can preach the gospel, and then there's a section right after that that says, like the Mormons do, like the Mormons do, and if you join us on that, we can sort of recreate the pioneer spirit. We're going to preach the gospel to all who want to hear, a message of salvation unto the meek we bear. Jehovah has commanded us, and therefore we must go, for none do preach the gospel like the Mormons do, like the Mormons do. Well, faith in God and Jesus is the first thing that we preach. A genuine repentance is the next thing that we teach. Baptism by immersion is the next thing that we show. For none do preach the gospel like the Mormons do, like the Mormons do. Well, the old-time religion is what we want you know, with prophets and apostles as in days of long ago. Read Ezekiel's second chapter, Ephesians 4 and 2. For none do preach the gospel like the Mormons do, like the Mormons do. Going to preach the gospel to all who want to hear, a message of salvation unto the meek we bear. Jehovah has commanded us, and therefore we must go, for none do preach the gospel like the Mormons do, like the Mormons do. Thank you. As you know, we are Mike and Shauna Iverson. We're two-thirds of a group called Blue Sage. We specialize in the folk music of the western United States. We do a lot of old-time cowboy tunes and mining songs, lumberjack songs. But probably the body of material that is most dear to me has to do with songs that were written here in the Utah region in the 1800s. And that's what we're going to share with you this afternoon. This next song is a tune that was actually collected from a lady in Brigham City. During the first half of this century, we were fortunate enough to have a number of folklorists who went out and collected music all through the state of Utah. And this is one that was recorded on some of the early recording equipment. The lady who recorded this song says that as a little girl, she remembered dancing for Brigham Young, to give you an idea of the age that we're talking about here. She said that the boys in her ward used to taunt the girls with this particular piece. It's called Don't You Marry the Mormon Boys. This instrument I'm holding, by the way, is called a banjarine and was built in the 1880s. It's a great instrument to use on these pioneer songs because it is a pioneer era instrument. Don't You Marry the Mormon Boys. Come, girls, come, listen to my noise. Don't you marry the Mormon boys. For if you do, your fortune it'll be Johnny cakes and babies is all you'll see. He'll buy a little house, put it on the hill. He'll make you work against your will. Buy a little cow and milk her in a gourd. Put it in the corner and cover it with a gourd. So come, girls, come, listen to my noise. Don't you marry the Mormon boys. For if you do, your fortune it'll be Johnny cakes and babies is all you'll see. Well, when they come a-preaching, let me tell you what they wear. They wear an old brown coat all thready and bare, an old straw hat more brim than crown, a pair of dirty socks that they wore the winter round. So come, girls, come, listen to my noise. Don't you marry the Mormon boys. For if you do, your fortune it'll be Johnny cakes and babies is all you'll see. If you don't want to work and give up your joys, then don't you marry the Mormon boys. For if you do, your fortune it'll be the Johnny cakes and babies is all you'll see. Thank you. You know, I don't think our forefathers had to deal with any of these electronic amplification devices. Can you folks hear me okay out there? Can you hear the instruments and everything's coming through clearly? Great. We're going to do a song now. Actually, this is one that we performed last night. I don't know how many of you attended the opening ceremonies, but we're going to redo this song for you right now. About 10 years after the pioneers hit the valley, they devised a new means to bring the immigrants across the plains. I'm sure you're all familiar with the hand carts. And this particular song was written to sort of accompany the whole handcart movement. It's one of the most familiar of the Mormon folk songs. It's one I remember singing in primary as a kid. And it's interesting because during the same period of time, there was a lot of upheavals across the country and here in Utah. Johnson's army was marching on Utah in about this same era, and there were a lot of fight songs that were composed, and the second verse of this particular song that I'm going to sing for you sort of reflects their displeasure toward the United States government. This is the handcart song. Ye saints who dwell on Europe's shore, prepare yourselves and many more to leave behind your own dear land, for sure God's judgments are at hand. For we must cross the raging main before God's promised land will gain. Then with the faithful make a start to cross the plains in our hand carts. For some must push and some must pull as we go marching up the hill. And merrily on our way we go until we reach the valley, oh. That land that boasts of liberty I never again would wish to see, where poor men toil and want for bread, and rich man's dogs are better fed. This land that boasts of modern light, we know it's all as dark as night. And so from it we'd make a start to cross the plains in our hand carts. For some must push and some must pull as we go marching up the hill. And merrily on our way we go until we reach the valley, oh. And when we get there amongst the rest, obedient be and we'll be blessed, and in our chambers be shut in while judgments cleanse the world from sin. For we do know it must be so, God's servants spoke it long ago,
And so it's time to make a start across the plains in our hand carts. For some must push and some must pull as we go marching up the hill. And merrily on our way we go until we reach the valley, oh.
Thank you. Another song from that same period. I mentioned that they had written a number of fight songs, and these were songs that were designed to boost the spirits of the pioneers, especially when they were facing an invasion from the United States government. And this next song sort of talks about the way that the Mormon folk thought the rest of the country was looking at them at that time. It's called All Are Talking of Utah. And once again, this is an audience participate type of song. There's one point in the chorus where I'll yell out hurrah, and if you will all yell back at me, the same word, if you can all yell out back hurrah, then it'll sort of help us up on stage not to look so foolish when we yell out hurrah. And again, you'll be able to feel some of the pioneer spirit, I think, and the exuberance that the pioneers felt for their religion. This is All Are Talking of Utah.
Who'd ever think that Utah would stir the world so much? Who'd ever think the Mormons were widely known as such? Well, I hardly dare to scribble o'er such a subject touch. For all are talking of Utah. Hurrah! Hurrah! We Mormons have the name. Hurrah! Hurrah! We're on the road to fame. No matter how they style us, it's all about the same. For all are talking of Utah. Well, it's Utah and the Mormons in pulpit, church, and press. It's Utah and the Mormons in every place, I guess. We must be growing greater, we can't be growing less. For all are talking of Utah. Hurrah! Hurrah! We Mormons have the name. Hurrah! Hurrah! We're on the road to fame. No matter how they style us, it's all about the same. For all are talking of Utah. They say they'll send an army to set us Mormons right, regenerate all Utah and show us Christian light, release our wives and children and set us men to flight. For all are talking of Utah. Hurrah! Hurrah! We Mormons have the name. Hurrah! Hurrah! We're on the road to fame. No matter how they style us, it's all about the same. For all are talking of Utah. Now I will tell you something they haven't thought of yet. We bees are nearly filling our hive of Deseret. If earth was sting together and gather all we get. For all are talking of Utah. Hurrah! Hurrah! We Mormons have the name. Hurrah! Hurrah! We're on the road to fame. No matter how they style us, it's all about the same. For all are talking of Utah.
Thank you. Probably the darkest aspect of Utah history occurred about this same time. This next song I'm going to sing for you is a tune that has been credited with authorship to one of the members of Johnson's army as they wintered over before reaching the Salt Lake Valley. I don't know for sure where exactly the song came from. I picked it up from a field recording that was done by Alton and Austin and Alda Fife up at Utah State, where their archives reside. And it's a very graphic and very accurate portrayal of the Mountain Meadows Massacre, and this is another song that came from the 1800s.
Come all ye sons of liberty, unto my rhyme give ear. 'Tis of a bloody massacre you presently shall hear. In splendor o'er the mountain some 30 wagons came. They were awaited by a wicked crew. Oh, Utah bears the blame. In Indian colors all wrapped in shame, this bloody crew was seen to flock around the little train all upon the meadows green. They were attacked in the morning as they were on their way. They forthwith corralled their wagons and fought in blood array. Till came the leader of this band, he surely did deceive, saying, if you will give up your arms, we'll surely let you live. When once they had give up their arms, thinking their lives to save, the word was broken amongst the rest, which sent them to their graves. When once they had give up their arms and started for Cedar City, they fell on them in Indian style. Oh, what a human pity! They melted down in one accord like wax before the flame. Both men and women, old and young, oh, Utah, blush for shame. Both men and women, old and young, a-rollin' in their gore. And ne'er was such a sight nor seen e'er beheld before. Their property was divided amongst this bloody crew. And Uncle Sam is bound to see this awful matter through. His soldiers will be stationed throughout this Utah land, all for to find the murders out and bring them to his hand. 'Tis true they will deny it, the truth they will disclaim, to get out of it the best they can, the Indians bear the blame.
Thank you. We're going to lighten things up a little bit. That last song is a real interesting tune. I've sung that before, like high priest groups and the like, and it's very interesting seeing the reaction. There was one place I played where instead of applause, you could have heard a pin drop in the back of the hall, but it was a very good thing. It was like everybody was just very deep in thought. This next song is a tune that folklore tells us was one of Brigham Young's favorite songs, one that was played at gatherings. I tend to lump these pioneer songs into two categories, those that were sung in public and those that weren't, and this is the former. It's a song that was placed to the melody of Stephen Foster's Hard Times Come Again No More. And we know it as Brighter Days are in Store. Or Brigham's Hard Times, whichever. It goes like this.
We'll sing of the Mormons, the people of the Lord, from the time that Joseph prayed for light, and the way they've been guided by Jesus' holy word, and saved by the power of his might. 'Tis the song, the sigh of the Mormons, hard times, long oppressed and sore. Many days they have lingered around our cabin door, but now we've brighter days in store. Each time that the wicked have tried to overthrow and to bring the work of God to naught, A way has been opened for the saints to escape. A ram in the thicket was caught. 'Tis the song, the sigh of the Mormons. Hard times, long oppressed the sore. Many days they have lingered around our cabin door, but now we've brighter days in store. Grasshoppers, crickets, and maulvers all combined were powerless to crush our noble cause. The more we are hated, the more we are maligned, the more the Church of Jesus grows. 'Tis the song, the sigh of the Mormons. Hard times, long oppressed us sore. Many days they have lingered around our cabin door, but now we've brighter days in store. And now we've brighter days in store.
Thank you. The style of banjo that I'm playing, the actual technique that I'm using, is called the clawhammer style, and back in the 1800s, it was known as the stroke style and was the style you would have heard in minstrel shows and the like. It predates the bluegrass style by about 100 years. And amazingly enough, the banjo was probably one of the more popular of the parlor instruments that came out west, probably due to the fact that it's very easy to construct a banjo. All you need to do is construct a drum and put a neck on it. The next, another very popular instrument, of course, would be the fiddle. And the two of them together were used continually for dance music. This next song I'm going to perform for you is a song that was put to the music of O Susanna. And it talks about a Mormon engineer who found it very convenient to just deposit one of each of his wives at every major stop he happened to have along the way. Therefore, no matter where he had to stop the train for the night, he had a house in town waiting for him. This one's called Zach Black.
He came to Utah way back in 73. A right good Mormon gentleman, and a bishop too was he. He drove the locomotive for the DNRG. With women he was popular as could be. And when he'd whistle, man, he'd understand. Old Zach was headed homeward on the Denver and Rio Grande. Now Zach, he had a wifey in every railroad town. No matter where he stopped, he had a place to lay him down. And as his train was coming in, he wanted her to know. So as he passed each wifey's house, his whistle he would blow. And when he'd whistle, ma'am, he'd understand. Oh, Zach was headed homeward on the Denver Rio Grande. Now Zach, he claimed to love his wives and love them all the same, but always little Mabel was the one that he would name. And as he would pass her by, his whistle he'd blow loud. And when she'd throw a kiss at him, old Zach would look so proud. And when he'd whistle, ma'am, he'd understand. Old Zach was headed homeward on the Denver and Rio Grande. Now listen, everybody, because this story's true. Old Zach, he had a wife in every town that he passed through. They tried to make him transfer on to the old UP, but Zach said no because his wives were on the DNRG. And when he'd whistle, Sam would understand. Old Zach was headed homeward on the Denver and Rio Grande.
Thank you. Most of the Mormon tunes that I play are tunes that were written in the 1800s. But this next one is a more contemporary Mormon folk song. A number of years back, I was privileged to back up a folklorist singer from Salt Lake by the name of Elaine Thatcher. I learned this song from her. She picked it up from a collection in the area. I learned it and was performing this song up at the Festival of the American West a number of years back. And lo and behold, in the middle of the performance walked in the guy who originally came up with the lyrics for this song. Turns out that he was on a mission to the Netherlands in about 1963, and I guess for some sort of a zone conference or something, he wrote this particular song to an old melody called the Christian Sunday School Song. The other missionaries learned the song, took it back home, and in true folk fashion, it spread out, was eventually collected in a collection. Elaine learned it, taught it to me. I took it back up to Utah State, where it made full circle with the gentleman who wrote it. He was very surprised when he walked into the performance and heard me doing this, his song. He did give me a permission to continue doing his song, by the way. But this is a tune that we probably get more requests for than any other song. It has a chorus that goes like this.
Well, young folks, old folks, everybody come. Join the Mormon Sunday School and have a lot of fun. Pay your tithing, building fund, and budget at the door. And you'll hear some scripture stories that you never heard before.
And once again, in true folk fashion, this is another audience participate song. So I hope you all listen carefully to the lyrics for the chorus, because I expect you to join in with me. If you don't know the words to this song, and you probably don't, make an attempt to sing along with me, and you'll find that it has enough verses to it that by the end of the song you will probably know the chorus. This is the, once again, the Mormon Sunday School song.
Young folks, old folks, everybody come. Join the Mormon Sunday School and have a lot of fun. Pay your tithing, building fund, and budget at the door. And you'll hear some scripture stories that you never heard before.
Well, a few of you were brave.
Well, the prophet Nephi was brave and strong. In the scriptures he could do no wrong. The way Arnold Freeberg painted him, he must have worked out at the Deseret Gym. So young folks, old folks, everybody come. Join the Mormon Sunday School and have a lot of fun. Pay your tithing, building fund, and budget at the door. And you'll hear some scripture stories that you never heard before. Well, old King Benjamin built himself a tower to preach to the folks for many an hour. They pitched their tents so they could see, and it looked like a Boy Scout jamboree. So young folks, old folks, everybody come. Join the Mormon Sunday School and have a lot of fun. Pay your tithing, building fund, and budget at the door. And you'll hear some scripture stories that you never heard before.
This next verse is my favorite.
Well, the Gadianton robbers, they get all the thanks for robbing all of the Nephi banks. They robbed every bank in the whole creation because they had the secret combination. Young folks, old folks, everybody come. Join the Mormon Sunday School and have a lot of fun. Pay your tithing, building fund, and budget at the door. And you'll hear some scripture stories that you never heard before. Well, they had a little trouble with Alma the Younger. For spiritual enlightenment he did hunger. An angel appeared in glorious rays. He felt sort of dumb for a couple of days. So young folks, old folks, everybody come. Join the Mormon Sunday School and have a lot of fun. Pay your tithing, building fund, and budget at the door. And you'll hear some scripture stories that you never heard before. Well, the Jaredites built the Tower of Babel. They had two leaders who were strong and able. Mahoney, Maury, and Kermer won great fame. I just can't remember his brother's name. So young folks, old folks, everybody come. Join the Mormon Sunday School and have a lot of fun. Pay your tithing, building fund, and budget at the door. And you'll hear some scripture stories that you never heard before. So buy a Book of Mormon without delay. About $4 is all you pay. I'll tell you what it can do. If it reformed Egyptian, it can reform you. So young folks, old folks, everybody come. Join the Mormon Sunday School and have a lot of fun. Pay your tithing, building fund, and budget at the door. And you'll hear some scripture stories that you never heard before.
Thank you.
Next one. This next song was written by a gentleman named Levi Hancock. I'm told that he was asked by Brigham Young to accompany the Mormon battalion on their trek down to California. And although the battalion didn't encounter any actual fighting along the way, of course, like every other pioneer group, they were constantly battling the elements. And as Levi watched one of the Teamsters who accompanied the battalion pass away on the trail, he was inspired to write this next song. It's called The Lonesome Roving Wolves. This is my personal favorite of all the 1800s-ish Mormon ballads. Interestingly enough, this year at the Festival of the American West, I was performing this song, and in walked a bunch of Levi's descendants. I guess they were having some sort of family gathering and came up, and most of them hadn't heard any of his songs actually sung. They'd seen the lyrics before, but had not heard the actual melodies. This is The Lonesome Roving Wolves.
The battalion encamped by the side of the green grove, where the pure waters flow from the mountains above. Our hunters came in from the chase of wild bulls, and all around rose the howling of the lonesome roving wolves. When the guards, they were all placed on the outposts around, the low hills and the broad waters, they were alive with the sound. And though the cold winds, they blew down the huge mountain shelves, all was rife with the cry of those lonesome roving wolves. Then we dug a deep grave and we buried him there, all alone by the road, not a stone to tell where. But we piled brush and wood to burn over his grave, as a cheat to delude both the savage and the wolves. Sad, doleful night that we by sunrise next day when the fife and the drum had performed reveille, our teams were brought nigh, our baggage to pull. One and all bade goodbye to the grave and the wolves.
Thank you. We're going to do a song that comes from the southern part of the state. A tune aptly entitled St. George and the Dragon.
Oh, what a desert place this was when first the Mormons found it. They said no white man here could live, and Indians prowled around it. They said the land it was no good, the water was no gooder. The bare idea of living here was enough to make one shudder. Mesquite, sopra, prickly pears, and briars. St. George alone will be a place that everyone admires. Now green lucerne and verdant spots bedecks our thriving city, while vines and fruit trees grace our lot with flowers sweet and pretty. Where once the grass and single blades grew mile apart in distance, and it kept the crickets on the hop to pick up their subsistence. Mesquite, soap, but prickly pears and briars, St. George alone will be a place that everyone admires. Well, the air it is so awful hot, it makes the water scissor. The reason that it is so hot is just because it is, sir. The wind in fury here doth blow, that when we plant or sow, sir, we place 1 foot upon the seeds and hold them till they grow, sir. Mesquite, soap, prickly pears and briars, St. George alone will be a place that everyone admires. St. George alone will be a place that everyone admires.
Thank you. Most of the songs that I've been playing for you were tunes that came from the Austin and Alda Fife collection up at USU. I was privileged enough to be allowed in to hear some of the original field recordings about 15 years ago, and most of these songs came from that particular collection. But a lot of the songs, we aren't fortunate enough to have the melodies still around. This next one I'm going to recite for you because the melody is no longer with us. I believe this one came out of a Pioneer Journal, and it's one that deals with Orrin Porter Rockwell. Now, old Porter Rockwell has work to do, so he saddles his sorrel and rides away, and those who are watching wonder who will be a widow at break of day. The waiting wife in the candlelight starts up as she hears a wild hoofbeat, then shrinks in terror as down the night comes the wailing of Port's dread war cry, wheat. She holds her babes and tries to pray, but she knows she's a widow and orphans are they. Now old Porter Rockwell looks like a man with a beard on his face and his hair in a braid, but there's none in the West but Brigham who can look in his eyes and not be afraid. For Port is a devil in human shape. Although he calls himself angel, he says vengeance is sweet. And he's black, bitter death, and there's no escape when he wails through the night his dread war cry, wheat. Somewhere a young wife with her babes kneels to pray, for she knows she's a widow, and orphans are they. This next tune talks about the domestic problems you might encounter in a household that has more than one or two or even 10 or 20 wives. I mentioned before that I lumped the old songs into two categories, those that were performed in public and those that weren't. And this one is in the latter category. called Brigham, Brigham Young, another one that we did last night.
Brigham Young was a Mormon bold, and the leader of the roaring ram, and a shepherd of a flock, a fine tub sheep, and a passel of pretty little lambs. And he lived with his 45 wives in the city of the Great Salt Lake, where they hoo and they coo as pretty doves do, and cackle like ducks to a drake. Old Brigham, Brigham Young, it's a miracle he survives, with his roaring rams and his pretty little lambs and his 45 wives. The number one is 60 and 3, number 45's about 16, and among such a riot, how he ever keeps him quiet is a downright mystery to me. For they cackle and they claw and they jaw, 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 each one has a different desire. It would aid the renown of the best shop in town to supply them with half they require. Old Brigham, Brigham Young, it's a miracle he survives, with his roaring rams and his pretty little lambs and his 45 wives. Now Brigham Young was a stout man once, but now he's thin and old, and I'm sad to relate there's no hair upon his pate, for he once wore a covering of gold. For his younger wives won't have white wool, his old wives won't wear red, and in tearing it out and taking turn about, they've torn all the wool from his head. Old Brigham, Brigham Young, it's a miracle he survives, with his roaring rams and his pretty little lambs and his 45 wives. His boys, they all sing songs all day, his girls, they all sing psalms, and among such a crowd he has a pretty loud, they're as musical as Chinese gongs. And when they advance on a Mormon dance, he's filled with the greatest alarm, for they're sure to spend the night in a tabernacle fight to see who has the fairest charms. Old Brigham, Brigham Young, it's a miracle he survives, with his roaring rams and his pretty little lambs and his 45 wives. Now there never was a house like Brigham Young, so curious and so queer, for if his rooms were double, it gave him lots of trouble, and it gained on him year by year. Now he sits in his state, and he bears his fate in a sanctified sort of way. He's got one wife to marry, and another wife to bury, and a new kid born every day. Old Brigham, Brigham Young, it's a miracle he survives, with his roaring rams, and his pretty little lambs, and his 45 wives.
Thank you. We're going to do a cowboy song for you. This one was written by a gentleman named Judge Keller down in the Monticello Blanding area of the state. Is there anybody out there from that part of the country? You're familiar with Blue Mountain, I'm sure. Everybody is down there, and you're probably familiar with the song I'm going to sing. This next song, I think, is sort of the unofficial anthem of southeastern Utah.
Absolutely.
I had the privilege of playing a concert down there 4 or 5 years ago, and we were actually down in Blanding at the high school, and I invited the audience to sing along on this song, and I had about 1,500 voices just instantaneously join me on this song. It was amazing. But it's sort of a difficult song to understand. Let me give you a quick translation on some of the verses. In the second verse, the cowboy is working for a ranch called the LC Ranch, and I guess the hip, side, and shoulder spread is the adjoining ranch next to it. Well, he's been doing a little rustling on the side and has gone out and found some young newborn calves and has carefully hid them away with their mothers, possibly in a box canyon or the like. And if nobody from the hip, side, and shoulder brand comes along and finds those there, when it comes time to wean the calf, he can then go in, brand the calf, and then release the mother and add the calf to his own herd. They call those sleeper calves. And so when he talks about the sleeper calves and eventually owning the hip, side, and shoulder spread who he's rustling these cows from, you'll know what he's talking about. In the fourth verse, he goes into town, shoots off the lock off the local mercantile store. Then he grabs a bolt of calico and takes a few dallies around the horn of his saddle, runs back and forth through town trailing this entire bolt of calico behind him. And you'll hear him describe that in the fourth verse. This is called Blue Mountain. Oh, by the way, if you ever get a chance, stop down in Monticello. In the city park there, you can go into the park, and they have these little spy tubes that you can look through. And if you look through them, they'll center your eye on the side of the mountain. And at certain times of the year, especially, very clearly, if you stare long enough, suddenly you'll see this horse's head looking straight at you. It's a pretty amazing sight. We know there's a horse's head on this side of the mountain. We don't know what's on the other side yet. I've never been on the other side of the mountain. This is Blue Mountain. Feel free to join me on the chorus if you'd like. My home, it was in Texas. My past, you must not know. I seek a refuge from the law, where the sage and opinions grow. Blue Mountain, your azure deep. Blue Mountain with sides so steep. Blue Mountain with horse head upon your side. You have won my heart to keep. For the brand LC I ride, with the sleeper calves on the side, all on hip side and shoulder. When I grow older, Zapataro, don't you tan my hide. Blue Mountain, your azure deep. I dance at night with the Mormon girls and ride home beneath the moon. Blue Mountain, your azure deep. Blue Mountain with sides so steep. Blue Mountain with horse head upon your side. You have won my heart to keep. Well, I trade at Monza's store with the bullet holes in the door. His calico treasures my horse can measure when I'm drunk and feeling sore. Blue Mountain, your azure deep. Blue Mountain with sides so steep. Blue Mountain with horse head upon your side. You have won my heart to keep. Well, in the summertime it's fine. In the winter the wind does whine. But say, dear brother, if you want a mother, there's Ev on the old chuck line. Blue Mountain, your azure deep. Blue Mountain with sides so steep. Blue Mountain with horse head upon your side. You have won my heart to keep. Thank you very much. We've got one more song that we're going to leave you with, another tune that comes from the southern part of the state. But before we do, do any of you have any questions concerning us or the songs that we might be able to help you with? I'm not a folklorist, I'm a folk singer, but if I have any any ideas concerning the song, I'd be happy to share them with you. Any questions of any type? Yes. The folklore The question was pertaining to the Mountain Meadows Massacre song, the ballad. You wanted to know if I knew any more background, like who had composed the song. The only thing that I've heard about that particular song is the possibility that it might have been written by one of the members of Johnson's army. And that's all we know about that particular tune. It was collected here in Utah, though, and was preserved amongst our people, which is sort of unusual for that particular song. When I first encountered that song, my initial reaction was to sort of shy away from it. But the more I read through the lyrics and listened to the melody, the more I realized I almost had a responsibility to sing the song. And it was sort of a requirement of history, I think, for that song to be sung. Yes? The question was, how did I even know about the existence of that particular song? Again, it was recorded by Austin and Alda Fife, and it, again, comes from the Fife collection up at Utah State. Austin and Alta, I believe they came from Antioch College, I believe down in California. And during the first part of this century, they traveled all throughout Utah during their summer months and all through the West, actually, and collected these songs on the early recording equipment. A lot of times it was recorded on wax cylinders, and they would break like a needle, and would actually use like cactus needles to replace their needles for these recording cylinders. And I pulled it off of their recording. That type of song, I think, would have defied standard notation. And in fact, I don't even like to work off of standard notation, because a lot of these songs, I think, move in and out of different modes and aren't exactly a major or minor in nature. And therefore, I like to work off the field recordings if I can. Looks like we have no more questions. We appreciate you sticking around and listening to us. We'd like to thank the Sunstone Foundation for bringing us down and letting us share these songs with you. We hope you had a good time. I don't get a chance to perform the Mormon songs very often, and I treasure every opportunity I have to share these songs. We're going to end off with a tune that was written by George Hicks. He was called on a colonizing mission to settle down in southern Utah. And he left his home in Cottonwood. And when he got down there, he found the area was less to his liking than he thought. And he eventually wrote this song. This one was published in a humor magazine in the 1870s here in Salt Lake. There actually were such a thing as humor magazines in Salt Lake in 1870, apparently. So this was in one of them. It's called Once I Lived in Cottonwood. I've seen this song also in the old Daughters of the Utah Pioneer Handbook as well. Before I go, once again, this is Shauna Iverson on the bass. It's real nice having keeping the music in the family this way. And of course on the banjo, her husband Mike. And this is Once I Lived in Cottonwood.
Once I lived in Cottonwood and owned a little farm, but I was called a Dixie, which gave me much alarm. To raise a cane and cotton, I right away must go, but the reason why they sent me, I'm sure I do not know. I yoked up Jim and Bolly, all for to make a start. To leave my home and garden, it almost broke my heart. We started off quite slowly and often looked behind, for the sands and rocks of Dixie kept rolling through my mind. At length we reached the Black Ridge, where I broke my wagon down. I didn't have a carpenter, we were 20 miles from town. So with a clumsy cedar pole, I made an awkward slide. But the wagon broke so heavy now that Betsy could not ride. As Betsy was a-walkin', I told her to take care, when all upon a sudden she struck a prickly pear. And she begins to blubber out as loud as she could call, If I was back in Cottonwood, I would not come at all. Winds whirl around me now and take away my breath. I've had the chills and fever till I'm nearly shook to death. All earthly tribulations are but a moment here. And oh, if I prove faithful, a righteous crown I'll wear. I am so sad and lonesome now, there's nothing here to cheer, except prophetic sermons which we very often hear. They dish them out by dozens and prove them by the book, but I'd rather have some roasting ears to stay at home and cook. My wagon went for sorghum seed to make a little bread. Our old Jim and Polly both long ago are dead. There's only me and Betsy left to hold the cotton tree. May heaven help the Dixieite wherever he may be.
Thank you very much. That concludes our program. Feel free to come up and talk to us. If you want the words to the Mormon Sunday School song, we actually have copies of that here for you that you can just take with you. And attached to that are some other references that you can use when looking up some more of these Mormon folk songs. Thanks again.